Caucus. Today's daf is daf Kuf Lamed Zayin. We're holding on the bottom of Kuf Lamed Vav in Amud Beis, and we're in the middle of the sugya whether Kinyan Perot ki Kinyan Aguf Dami, which is a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. Now Rabbi Yochanan holds Kinyan Perot ki Kinyan Aguf Dami, asked yesterday on Rish Lakish, and we need to review this because we're still holding in the middle of the sugya, asked on him from a case where somebody gives a gift to someone and says to him, Acharecha, it should go to a second person. And after that second person dies, it should go to a third person. So the din is that if the second person died before the first person, when the first person dies, it goes to his heirs rather than going on, because the only rights he gave to the third person were through the second person. Since the second person was never Yorish of the property, so it goes now to the heirs of the one that he originally gave it to. The problem is, Tainas Rabbi Yochanan, that according to you, Reish Lakish, who hold that Kinyan Perot Lav Ki Kinyan Aguf Dami, why does the first person's heirs get anything? Only the original giver is the one whose heirs should get anything, because the actual property continued to belong to him. It was never given away. Tainas Reish Lakish yesterday, that both Rav Hoshaya and Bava and Rav also was Metargim this, that the moment you say the word Acharecha, what you mean is that it's being given to you in its entirety, not only as a Kinyan Peres. But Enochinani, had it only been Kinyan Peres, there's no question it would have gone back to the heirs of the Noten and not to the original Mikabel, the first person to get it. Asks the Gemara today on the bottom line of Kuflomet Vavamet Pez, V'atanya, how can you say that this is the halacha if it says Yachzeru LeYorshein Noten? According to Rabbi Yochanan, we've got a really devastating problem, because you see, Bishram, according to Reish Lakish, it doesn't really matter what it would say, because if it said Yachzeru LeYorshein Noten, it simply means that in a case where he gave only the rights to the Peres, it would go back to the original giver, right? If it says Yachzeru LeYorshein HaRishon, so then it means that we're talking about a case where the Acharecha is understood to mean a Kinyan Aguf. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, there is never a case that you could give it back to the Yorshim of the Noten. Because he certainly at least gave away the Kinyan Peres. And Kinyan Peres is a Kinyan Aguf Dami. So this is now a devastating question on Rabbi Yochanan. If there's a Braita that says, Yachzeru the Yorshei Noten, how's he going to explain that? Says the Gemara, you're right. The only way he'll explain that is that it's a machlokas tanoim, and that indeed there is a tana that does hold like Reish Lakish is made it to that. Reish Lakish, on the other hand, remember, does not have to say that anybody holds a Rabbi Yochanan, because all that we see over here is that there is a tana that holds that acharecha doesn't mean a kinyan aguf, it means kinyan peres. That's all. But if anything, it's fully consistent with me, Tainas Reish Lakish. Reish Yochanan will have to say that there's a man d'yomer that argues with him. Where indeed do we find that there is such a man d'yomer? The Tana. It's a well-known man d'yomer. It says, Nechasai lecha v'acharecha leploni, v'arad rishon, u'machar v'achal, ha'sheni motzi miyad l'kuchot, divrei Rebbe. So here, according to Rebbe, if somebody said in the case that we've been talking about, my property goes to you and after your death goes to somebody else, and the first guy goes ahead and he sells it, then the din is that the person that was supposed to get it from him after he died, when he dies, the second guy can go and take it away from the people that he sold it to. No, there's no way out of that. So clearly Rebbe holds that Kinyan Peres is Lavka Kinyan Aguf Dami. How else could I possibly taina that my lien as the second person, it comes before yours if you bought it from the guy who had the Kinyan Peres? Must be the Kinyan Peres Lavka Kinyan Aguf. Says Rabbi Yochanan, I can't deny the fact that Rebbe definitely holds that. I'm just not going. I'll leave it to Rebbe. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel omer, Ein l'sheni ela ma sheshir rishon. Now, we've been talking about all along that Ein l'sheni ela ma sheshir rishon. So if that's true, it means that, I explain it, says Rabbi Yochanan, it means that when he gives it to him as a Kinyan Perot, that Kinyan Perot allows him to sell it. Now, of course, Reish Lakish will say, nobody says that. The only machlokas that you find over here is the question of whether when you say acharecha leploni, does that mean only a kinyan perot? That's the machlokas, Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. But where do you see that anybody holds like you? That's the way Reish Lakish would understand it. Rabbi Yochanan is taking for granted that Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel are talking about a case where he is not given the rights to the actual thing. Why should he? He gave them only the rights to use it. And nonetheless, he can go ahead and sell it. I'll leave it to Reb Shimon Gamliel. So you clearly see that the rights of use are the equivalent of a kinyan in the actual goof of the chetz. Ask the Gemara, something's funny over here, because there's a praita that actually reverses the sheet of Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel. Vramini. Nechasai lechavi acharecha leploni, yored rishonu mocher veochel. Devi Rebbe. Here Rebbe says that in a case like that, the first guy can go, and he can sell it, and then use up the money, and that's fine. Reb Shimon Gamliel, in this case, exactly says the opposite of what he said before. Ein l'rishon el achilat perot dovat. He doesn't have a right to do that. All he gets is a right for achilas peres. What? So kasha de Rebbe, ya de Rebbe, Reb Shimon Gamliel, ya de Reb Shimon Gamliel. This is a complete reversal of the shitas that you said before. Says Gemara, it's not a reversal at all. The Rebbe had a Rebbe lo kasha. Hala gufa, hala pera. The whole point over here is that we're talking about two different cases. The first one, where Rebbe said over there that the second one is able to be meitzi miyad halakuches, that's talking about where he went ahead and he was meicher the actual property. Of course, if he's meicher the actual property, then he has a right. He never owned the actual property, so the second guy has a right to be meitzi miyad halakuchot. In this case, however, we're talking about where he sold it, le perot, and the perot he has. He has a right to the perot. So if he wants to sell the right to the perot to a second party, so then enochinami, there's nothing to the second guy in those perot, that's for sure. And Reb Shimon Gamliel, the Reb Shimon Gamliel is also not a kasha. Where he said before that ein l'rishon, we said ein l'shini ela mashashir rishon, that's true. But that's only if the guy had gone ahead, b'diavad, and sold it. If you're asking me, l'chatchila, is that the right thing to do? If somebody gave it to you with the understanding that it's supposed to have something left over to give to another person, that he wants to see that second person having it, so l'chatchila, that's not what you should do. Therefore, says Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, in this case, that it's not the right thing to do. Ein l'rishon el achilat perot dovar. All he gave you was the desire for you to be able to eat the peres. That's all that it's saying. It's not saying that, therefore, if you had sold it, it wouldn't have been the equivalent of kinyan haguf. So, remember, there's no connection between these two brayot at all. So, when Reb Shimon Gamliel says ein lo, he means ein lo to do. The only thing that he would be doing is that he would be selling the goof. That he's not supposed to do. So what Rebbe would be saying is, if the guy goes ahead and sells, what is the understanding of the sale? He only sold what was his. Fine. So what's the problem? He can sell what's his. But Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no. If he goes and sells, it would be interpreted as meaning that he's selling the goof, because he does have the keach to sell the goof. But he's not supposed to. Therefore, he shouldn't sell, meaning sell in that fashion. So it's a completely different meaning. We're using the words in different ways, and it makes perfectly good sense. Omer Abaye, it's supposed to morally, because it wasn't the intent of the giver. Masha'en Kein, Rebbe says, you can't do it. So there's no way you can do anything wrong, so go right ahead and sell. What's wrong? So this is talking about l'chatchila. You go and sell, you're selling the perot. That's all that you had a right to sell. Omer Abaye, Ezehu Rasha Arom, who is considered to be a sneaky Rasha, that somebody that he figures out how he can do things in an effective fashion. That's Arom. Lots of people have all kinds of brilliant ideas that don't work. But a Rasha Arom, he does something wrong that's immoral, and he figures out a way that it will work. That's the problem. And that is Amesi Eitzal Im Korb Nechassim Korb Shem Ben Gamliel. Somebody wants to mess up another guy. So he tells the first person, he says to him, you know, you could really sell it, even though the guy said it's supposed to go to the next person after you. Why leave anything over for anybody else? You should go and sell it. So Bishlam, if the person himself sells it, that's not called a Rasha Arom. He has a right to do that. Obviously, a person, you know, he may not do what's 100% morally correct, but you don't call him a Rasha Arom. But somebody now who gets involved in something, he gets no pleasure out of it. What is he trying to do? Cheat the other guy? Oh, his lawyer, exactly. That's a Rasha Arom. Perfect. So therefore, that's exactly why we were dealing with the question of whether it's the right thing to do or not. Om Reb Yochanan, halakha ka Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, and of course, Reb Yochanan paskas like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, as we've seen all along. Umodeh she'im natnan b'matnat shchiv mira lo asa klum. It's a fantastic idea. All of a sudden, we put the two issues together, yeah? So we're talking about two completely different things. We started off talking about it's imamish, a circular sugya. We started off talking about the idea of giving away nechasim to children as a matnat shchiv mira or as a living will, which led us into a completely, on the surface, unrelated issue at the end about kinyan peres and kinyan haguf, which comes at the very end, ironically, to say that even though matnat shchiv mira works without any kind of kinyan, so it's the most effective way of being able to transfer it, and it will even be makna those things that you couldn't have given over in a way that would have been a living will, because then it would have been, we said the problems with Bishas, Yisiso, and so on, that he couldn't have given over in a living will. But in this case, where you are the recipient of the first person, and now it's supposed to go after you to somebody else, so even though we paskin that you could sell it, but you can't give it away as a matnas shchiv mira. Weird. Why would that be? Well, what's the pshat in that? My taima, Omer Abaya, it's brilliant. It's because the matnas shchiv mira lo kodeh lo la'achar mita ukvar kadamo acharecha. What comes first? The person's condition when he gave it, that the next guy down the line gets it when you die, or the matnas shchiv mira? If you consider the moment of death, the matnas shchiv mira takes place immediately afterwards. But the acharecha takes place while this person is dying. Because be'etzem, as soon as he is clearly finito, so then the person wants it to go to somebody who's going to be nana from it. Bashekim, when a person is giving away his things, he doesn't relinquish things until he's absolutely finished. Right? Because that's the whole point. The matnas shchiv mira maintains control. So as long as you can call him, his brain is still alive, then in that sense, the matnas shchiv mira hasn't been chal. It's only chal bigmar mitato. Masha'in came over here, it's bishat mitato, meaning the gemar, but not achra gemar. That instantaneous difference makes a tremendous difference. Because if you analyze what comes first, it's the other person's intent for acharecha, who couldn't care less about his desire to maintain control. He only cares about who is going to have benefit from it. So benefit from it, he doesn't wait until this guy is safely and cozily dead. He waits until he just died. Okay, so that's enough. So give it to the next guy. Mashiach came over here. An instant later, the matnas shchiv mira would be chal. By that time, it's too late because it already went to somebody else. So kfar kadmo acharecha. That would be the logic of Rabbi Yochanan saying that the last thing that you could do in that case would be to convey it as a matnas shchiv mira.
It would be a very small difference in time.
Very, very small. Doesn't matter. In other words, it may even not be a measurable difference. Even that's irrelevant. It's a legal difference, right? The entire thing is an abstraction in a sense. But which thing do we want to happen in terms of the internal clock of our computer over here? It's this way.
Question of brain death and levels of death.
Yeah, whatever. That's not the issue. I mean, the issue is it after death or is it at the point of death? No, whatever the point is, really doesn't matter to us. Okay. Ask the Gemara, the problem is, it's a very nice explanation of Abaye, except the problem is that Abaye himself seems to say otherwise in another case. You're telling me that Abaye says that the way that this works is that the acharecha comes before the matnas shchiv mira. The problem is that ha'itma, matnas shchiv mira me'ematai kana, at what point is the matnas shchiv mira chal? Abaye says im gemar mita, and Rava says li'achar gemar mita. That's an exact reversal. Because here Abaye said the first thing that happens is the acharecha, which happens with the im gemar mita, and afterwards comes the matnas shchiv mira, which is the achar gemar mita. And here Abaye says no. Actually, the matnas shchiv mira is im gemar mita. So then why did he say kvar kodmoi the acharecha? Well, Abaye changed his mind about that. You're right. There's no way to fix it. So we can't resolve the two Piskei Halachas, but it's clear that Abaye changed his mind. Well, how do you know he changed his mind from that one? Maybe he changed his mind from the first one. Maybe he no longer holds with this logic of Kfar Kodmai. So you're saying it's so obvious? No, I know that it must be from this one. You know why? Because if he hadn't had Charat from this one, he would have run into trouble in the end with the Mishnah. And it's much more reasonable that Abaye figured out that actually Rava was correct, and he changed his mind about that, than that he would have argued and ended up needing to explain away a Mishnah. Because take a look at the Mishnah, the Tanakh. Zegitech imati, zegitech micholi zeh, zegitech la'achar mita, lo amar klum. So no matter how a person phrases a condition when he gives a get that revolves around his death. So this is your get if I die. This is your get if this illness, and then he doesn't say what it's going to do to him, but if he never gets up from this illness. Or this is your get after my death. So in that case, lo amar klum. Why lo amar klum? Because clearly he was trying to say that he is not going to be megarasher until it's li'achar mita. So if that's the case, there's no such thing, obviously, as a get li'achar mita. And if that's the case, obviously this is not like the Shita's Manasha Shtar Mokiecha loves it. It's always the equivalent of mihayom li'achar mita, which is Rabbi Yossi Shita, which connects to one of the issues we were discussing yesterday. But in any event, we do see from here that when a person talks about his death, he refers to after his death, not with his death. And therefore, Abaye wouldn't have had any basis to say, well, maybe that's only when it comes to get, not when it comes to matana. Very difficult to believe that that's what Abaye was thinking. So Mimela, it makes sense if we see that there's a contradiction, the Piskei Halachos of Abaye, that he was going along really in the end with the correct approach, which is consistent with the Mishnah, and therefore would be backing Rabbi Yochanan's contention that even Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel would hold, that there'd be no way to convey it from the Rishon to some other party to prevent the Sheni from being Zeicher with the Matan Shechit Bira, would have to be with a real Kenyan Bechaya. Omer Rabbi Zera, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Halachic Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and not only in a normal case, but even if the first person received the other person's property in Avadim, so he took those Avadim and he didn't sell them to anybody. He freed them. Same thing. The guy loses the Avadim. So you might say, well, Pshita, what's the difference? He sold the Avadim to the Avadim, so to speak, by freeing them. Or he sold the Avadim to a third party. I mean, why would that be relevant? Ah, you see, I might have thought it's relevant. Maladetema, I might have thought that, you know what, we could say to him that Omar Leila Mavid Yisura Loya Avinu Lecha. I never gave you these things to use illicitly. I gave them to you to be properly put to use. It's usher to free an Eved because there's lo olam bayim ta'avod. So it's clear that my das was not to give it to you under these circumstances. That's what you might have thought. Kamash malan, but we don't say that. A gift is a gift. Om Rabbi Yosef, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Loch Rabbi Shem Yom Lio, Vafilo Asa'an Tachrichim Lameit, even if he took the things that the person gave him, these pretty textiles, and he turned it into Isuri Hanah by making it into Tachrichim. Tachrichim or Asur, anything that is given to a mate, or Asur Ba'ana'ah. So I said, obviously, Pshita, I mean, what's... No, because again, Ma'ata Teimel Shivinu Isuri Hanah Lo Yavi Lecha. We might have thought, again, it's an umdana, that if a person gives away something, he gives it away for it to be enjoyed, which means, by definition, to turn it into Yisuri Hanah is the opposite of the use of its intent, and therefore, it should not be Ichal. I didn't give you the right to do something that would prevent people from enjoying it. Yes, but no one is allowed to use these things again. Once they're given to a mate. So you turn them into Yisrael? No. If I wanted the dead to enjoy things, I wouldn't have had to give them to you during your lifetime and after you to somebody. I obviously don't want them used for the dead. I want them used for the living, to enjoy. Darash Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chisda. Suppose, now that we've gotten into the issue of the types of matanot that can be given and how to interpret the conditions that are attached to a gift, in some cases we saw that it's clear that the gift is either complete or not at all. That was the Maaseh, the Beit Choron. And then we've gone down from there to try to understand what type of things are harama in a gift, what type of things are actually applicable conditions in a gift. So here is a classic case. Somebody gives someone his etrog to use. So he gives him an etrog b'matana, just like these cases. But he says that when you finish doing the mitzvah with your etrog, give it to somebody else. V'acharecha l'ploni. So now, if the first guy takes it, and he wants to be yotze, this mitzvah, and he goes ahead and he shakes his little esrog, he makes a bracha, was he yotze or not? That is dependent on the machlokas Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel, l'chara. Because according to Rebbe, since you only have a kinyan perot does not satisfy the requirements of lachem, l'kachtem lachem. So where's the pre-etz adar that's lachem? That's a, what, because you had a right to what? To smell the esrog. I mean, what's the perot over here? But certainly doesn't give you rights to be lachem, according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, if you hold that kinyan peres a kinyan aguf tami. When the Torah says lachem, it's kailal a kinyan peres, which is kinyan aguf. So l'chora, we have another very important implication to the original machlokas. Since, according to the way we've been saying all along is that according to Shimon Gamliel, which Rabbi Yochanan Paskin's like, you would have a right to eat the etrog. If you have a right to eat the etrog, then you have a right to use the etrog for the mitzvah. So we can imagine that the etrog essentially is being used up for the mitzvah. No, it's also good, because that's part of what's given to me as my kinyan perot. Matki florim nachum bar yitzchak. Come off it. The only reason that we had the typical machlokas in a case where a guy's giving over all types of goods and he's saying, and after you, it should go to this other person, that's because we have a machlokas. Mar savar kinyan perot ki kinyan aguf tami. Umar savar kinyan perot lav ki kinyan aguf tami. Fine. That certainly, that makes sense. Okay? Question over here is, and that was the question, whether acharecha maybe is different and is giving him actual the actual kinyanim in that case. Okay, but I say that in this case, by the esrog, what was the point of giving it to him? Remember, we entertained the notion that afilu alibet reish lakish, when you say acharecha, that acharecha may be understood as a kinyan aguf. What was the point of giving the guy the esrog? To dream about the kima mitzvah? Or to go ahead and to be Mekayim the mitzvah. So Ahacha, imafik lanafik, be'ilamayavi ne'alei, for God's sake, what was he giving it to him for? He was giving the esrog to look at and imagine, gosh, wouldn't it be nice if I could legally use this esrog? So the whole point that he was giving it to him for is only in order for him, there isn't a, what's the peris of the esrog? The only peris of the esrog that are meaningful and usable is to use it for the mitzvah. So therefore, in this case, obviously, it was only there in order to be Mekayim, the mitzvah, and that is called lachem, because there's nothing else in it. As long as the first guy still needs it to be yoytze, the second guy has no rights to it. That's what acharecha means. So in a case where you have, as we'll see, an etrog that belongs to more than one person, an etrog ha-shutafim, you're not yoytze. Each one would have to now give it to the other person with a complete matana. So don't think that this is the equivalent of an etrog that belongs to shutafim. Because, I mean, after all, the second guy gets it. The second guy only has a right in it when the first person finishes his complete use of it. And therefore, since it's given to him almanat to be yotzei, that by definition means I'm not giving the second guy any rights at all. So here, it's just a condition in the gift. But it's a total gift to be yotze with. There's machlokas in among the achronim, actually even among the rishonim, exactly how to understand this. That it's the equivalent of the acharecha, which means I'm actually giving you the guf, or a matana of peres where there is no other usage, even Reish Lakish holds, is the equivalent of a matana saguf, or whether the lachem in the Torah is served sufficiently by the only possible usage of a thing, and so on. You can see that there's a number of different approaches that are possible. But in any event, it's certainly not comparable to the typical case in which there is a use of peirot, and now the question is whether this use is kalul. This is the use, and it was for that purpose that it was given. We're going to get to that. We're going to get to that case. So therefore, I say, obviously, if he wants to be Yotzi, he can be Yotzi. Nobody could have limited the use in the Etrog not to be Yotzi. The only place where you get to the question is if he went ahead and sold it. Or let's say he ate it up. So now, if you're going to tell me that in this case, that's not a kiyum of the understanding of the nature of the gift, so then in a tsunami. So then you've wrecked it. That would be the machlokas. For that, you come to the machlokas of Rebbe and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, because according to Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel, since ain l'sheni ala mashashir rishon, so therefore, that doesn't matter. He lost nothing at all. According to Rebbe, maybe in Achinami, since he wasn't given to him to eat, if he doesn't leave over the goof to the sheni, so then this gift was not according to the Tanaim.
Does that mean that he wasn't
Yotzi? Lachor would mean that we're going to get to the case of Matan Manat Lachzer now, which is what it's again. Omer Rabba Baravuna, you get into an equally confusing situation where brothers inherit an etrog along with their father's estate. So now be'etzem their shutvim. So you can't call it lachem yet. It's not entirely yours. So ha'achim shekanu etrog betfusat abayit. If one of the brothers takes the etrog and he is yotze with it, is that a kosher mitzvah or not? What will it be dependent on? Whether we can view the taking of the etrog as the acceptance by the brothers of the chalukah. And how will we know that? In other words, it's a minor chalukah. Out of the $10 million that was left, he's going to take this esrog, which is worth $100, and he'll say, okay, so $100 I'll leave over for the estate of my own stuff. So, I mean, that would be the question. How do we determine such a thing? It's very simple. If he could have eaten it, and that's how it's, yeah, the sugya that we just had. If he could have eaten it, and the brothers wouldn't have been makpid, and wouldn't have had to ask rishus. So then fine, so that means that basically they're letting him take it as his chelek. But if he had wanted to eat it, he wouldn't have been able to take it, and they would have objected. Then he's not yotze either, because it means it's not lechem. And they're not accepting the chalukah. So they're just saying, okay, fine, you know, be yotze, you want to be yotze. The problem is the Torah doesn't think he can be yotze. Because it isn't his. Therefore, we have to check, is it his or not? The only way to check if it's his is if he was im yachola ochlo, if he could have eaten it in the same way, and nobody would have said anything, so then he's yotze. But if not, he's not yotze. V'davka de'ike etrog l'ko chad v'chad. This would only be if they're splitting the property along the lines of everybody getting the same thing. So then he can informally split it. But if he's going to leave a parish or a rimon to the other brothers, so let's say, all right, so I'll take the etrog, you take a pomegranate, and the third brother will take a quince. No. That's not going to work. Says the Rashbam, that's simply repetitious. It's obvious that somebody stuck this in here. I mean, this doesn't make any sense. That's what you just said. Right? Yeah? But the Rambam actually holds, Rambam paskins it, and he holds that it's a separate issue. Because a chalukah that is made in this fashion is not a binding chalukah. Unless he could say, I left you the same thing. Otherwise, it would have to go through the process of chalukah. Therefore, essentially, it wasn't given to him. Oh, my brother. The case that we use all the time. Etrog zen natun lecha b'matana. Amenat shetach zireyu li. Somebody gives someone an etrog, and he says, I'm giving it to you. But you have to give it back. Netala v'yatzabo. He takes it in his yotze. If he's mak zireyit. So then it turns out that it really was him. His, and he's yotze. But if lo yechziro lo yatza. If he never gave it back, it turns out it was never. If he never gave it back, it turns out it was never a gift. It was never a gift, and he wasn't yotze. So here is what appears to be the ultimate anti-matana matana. I'm giving it to you as a gift, but it isn't really yours. You got to give it back to me. I mean, isn't that a contradiction? No. Legally speaking, it's a perfectly good gift. And the condition at the end is viewed as an exterior condition, which happens to redefine the ownership of the thing. And it's not really any different than giving it to you, an acharecha leploni, and specifying I'm giving you the guf acharecha leploni. So lamaisa, it just boils down to an extended matana menat lachzir in a sense. Now the Rashbam actually addresses here the issue that our dear president just raised. So how is it that we, we don't even do that. I mean, in Europe, it was very common that the entire Kehillah was able to afford an Esrog, a Lulavan and Esrog, right? The Koshi. And then everybody would go and they would make a bracha. How can everybody go and make a bracha if it doesn't belong to, it belongs to Shutvim? It doesn't belong to any individual. So Rashbam says that in such a case, the nature of the picking it up is understood as an umdana, that we bought it in order that everyone is makne, their chelek, to the person who's currently using it. And he is makne it automatically, his chelek, along with everyone else, to the next person who's using it, and so on. So it's always a full matana to the next guy. Ahi itita. Now there was a woman, the Avila Dikla Ba'arader of Bibi Barabai. There's a woman who had this palm tree in Rav Bibi Barabai's field, called Ema David Azla Lamigzra, and every time she went in there to take stuff off of her palm tree and to harvest it, it used to drive Rav Bibi Barabai crazy. He put up ladders and crushed things that were growing in his field, and he would always complain. So you know what? She finally decided, you know what, the heck with it. I can't live with this. Why don't you just keep it as long as you're alive? You go ahead, and you should be Nene from the tree. That's called Koshne Chayav. So, Aknite Niale Koshne Chayav. So, he's thinking, so what is it? After I die, she'll have to get it back. I don't like that. So, therefore, since the halacha is like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, I'll give it to somebody else. I don't want to give it to anybody. I want it to stay in the family. So, I'll give it to my son. If I give it to my sons, then I won't have the right to eat it. I'll give it to my young son, who I am supporting. I'm not mechuyev to support. So mamela, I'll take the peres of the dekel in exchange for the support that I give him. And when I die, he'll inherit it because it'll be given to somebody else, basically. And therefore, the woman won't get her dekel back ever. So you'll say, I thought that's nasty, nasty. Mm-hmm. No, but he assumed that in this case, the woman, it's not that the woman wanted it back. She wanted already to do nachas ruach for him. So she didn't say afterwards that she gave. She just said, I'm giving it to you, koyu bechayecha, whatever you do with it. Yeah, and you work it out in such a way that I don't get it back. She never addressed that. In a case of acharecha, you say beferish, and after you, I want this to happen. She didn't say after you anything. She just said, as long as you're alive, enjoy gezuntreit. So if I use now that matzav to give it to somebody else, so in that case, it's not even hakapada. So I should be able to do that. So he goes and he gives it libno akatan. Omer avuna reider of Yehoshua. We know about your family. Abaye, your father comes from Eli, which means you come from Eli. Ah, so mishum da'atu mimuloi, because you come from a family that's cut off, lashon amal. Amritu mili muliata. You say dumb things. They're also cut off from any meaning. What kind of stupid thing is that? Afilu Reb Shimon Gamliel lo kamar la'acher. Reb Shimon Gamliel was only saying that when a person gives something to be given to somebody else, so then what he's willing to give away even the keach to sell that thing, which will not leave anything for the somebody else. But that's because it's somebody else. Certainly, if it's la'atzma, loka amar, what do you think? That this is better than that? Because it's worse than this case. The woman doesn't want to get into all this hassle of having you yell at her every time she comes in. So she says, so as long as you're alive, you be nana from it. But obviously, she's maintaining her rights to the tree. And Mimela, what you did was against the entire nature of the Matan and violates the Tanaya and the Matan. There's no way that you could possibly do this. Even Reb Shimon Gamliel is made that I only gave you the rights to use this as long as you're alive. Omar Rav Amri Menachman, Shor ze natun lecha b'matana manat shetachzireu li. The guy says, here, I'm giving you the shor on condition you give it back to me. The guy goes ahead and he makes it Kedesh. So he gedishay. He says, okay, now I'm giving it back to you. He gives it back to him. Achzireil. Hareza mugdash umuchzar. What's wrong? It's kedesh, and he gave it back. I'm like, Rabbi, I don't understand. What do you mean he gave it back? My hadri. He didn't give him back anything. What? I'm like, my chasre, the bach takes out that losh. Because it doesn't really make sense. The question is, what did he really give him back? Therefore, we need to be mitakein what we said. Al Omer Ravashi, the point over here is, what was the exact language? I Omer le'amanat she'tachzireu or hadre? This very much touches on the issue that we're just talking about. Do we need to fulfill an abstract condition, or do we need to make sure that the person is able to get hanah from what I'm returning to? If they're saying it's simply an abstract condition that needs to be put back into my yard, fine. So it was put back into his yard, because he never said to give it back to me for my usage. So it really depends on how he phrased it. If he phrased it as, I want it back here, fine, so I put it back here. If he says, I want it back in my rishus, so then that's not considered to be a chazara to him, of course.
But he shafted it and returned me.
Because midi de, no, the midi de chazi le ka'amar le, no, then it's something else, then it's a shinui. But over here, that's what you're saying. What's different from what it was? Well, you're saying the bialist. Did he say that it needed to necessarily be that it's given back to me in a way that I could use it? You said, put it back. So I put it back. Okay, this next piece really begins a whole discussion on the nature of the moment of the matana gift, which we'll go on into tomorrow. So again. It's not. It's not different. Same case.